with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We are in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, Christmas is upon us.
Yep.
I hope everyone has their shopping done, because if not, you might be in trouble. We used to have this friend of ours. I know Mom talks about her a lot.
She's with the Lord now.
She is with the Lord, a blessed friend. But she used to do all her shopping on Christmas Eve.
Yep. They just went out and
did it. And whether they had the things or not, they found something, and you got something whether you liked
it
or not.
That's right. But you got what they got that night.
But it is upon us, and as we close out this series on what Christmas is, the last thing that we want to look at is this grand and glorious story, or in this grand and glorious story, is that Christmas is salvation.
Yeah,
you know, we've been talking about, we started kind of back in the Old Testament, we've moved along in this story, trying to see this whole meta-narrative, and today we want to look at Christmas is salvation.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the incarnation of God in Christ, the revelation of God in Christ, the confrontation of God in Christ, and now salvation in Christ.
Amen. And God confronts us, does he not? But now we want to see what happens when he does confront us.
What's the fruit of that confrontation?
Right. Yeah. We're going to look at a couple passages, kind of some varying scriptures, both in Matthew 1, verses 21, and then Luke 19, verse 10 and following, in various scriptures there. But three things we want to see today as we look at this issue is that Christmas is salvation. The initiative of God in salvation, the intent of God in salvation, and then finally the inevitability of God in salvation. So first of all, the initiative of God in salvation.
Right. If you look at that passage we're so familiar with, and when God was dealing with Joseph and telling him what was going to happen with Mary, and then he says, just before verse 121, he says, and that thing, or that which is conceived, and it is that he didn't mean thing in the sense of inhuman, but that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hmm. So we see here, God takes the initiative. As we said before, he steps into...
I like what you said when we were discussing this before we came on. You said all of these things, the things that we've been seeing thus far in this whole story of Christmas, what Christmas is, and even what we're reading now in the scriptures, all of these things show that God is the prime mover in salvation.
Yeah.
God broke through.
Yeah.
You know, God did it. You know, and I think... evangelicals, we're just going to pick on evangelicals right now.
That's because that's what we are.
Right. Yeah. We miss this more than anything when it comes to who Christ is. That he is the prime mover.
We tend to think from a human perspective more than from the perspective of God. And we tend to put man at the center rather than put God at the center.
Right.
At the front.
Because is this not why he came? You know, God took the initiative. He sent his son. Man needed a savior, and he did not know it.
It's not as though sinful man in his darkness and death started crying out of this darkness, Lord, give me light. God, give me light. Right. It was God who pierced the darkness with the son Jesus and took the initiative to rescue, to ransom, to redeem, to deliver sinful mankind.
So sinners, in other words, sinners needed a savior that they did not want. And Christ came to seek and to save, as the scripture says.
Right.
Now, some people might be, take this moment, it just kind of comes to my mind of clarifying. People listen to this. Well, if that's the case, then it sounds like to me God's forcing upon us something that we didn't want.
Well, I mean, you could look at it that way. The point is that we would, it's kind of like our children.
Mm-hmm.
Our children will not make the choices that are good for them.
I think it's a great example, because we are likened unto children in our relationship with God.
And we as sinners would not make the choices, would not choose what is right for us, because we're blind and we do not see and understand what is right and good in God's eyes. God breaks through. He changes our will. He takes the initiative and opens our eyes and gives us life so that we can see and understand and choose.
Those phrases that are being used there, you and I were talking about this, that which is conceived in you, you shall call his name Jesus.
Yeah.
It's God's the one that named Jesus. You know,
yeah.
God is the one who caused this conception to happen that was other than man.
Yeah, man had nothing to do with this one.
God is the prime mover.
Yeah, and he is in salvation. And that's what this is all about, the initiative of God.
So we see the initiative of God in salvation, but then the next thing we want to see is the intent of God in salvation.
Yeah, you stepped on this a little bit just earlier when you were talking about...
They kind of tend to overlap a little bit. Sorry.
It's kind of hard not to. But we see... the intent of God. He will save his people. And then in that Luke 19 passage, verse 10, the Son of Man, Jesus says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's the intent. That's why he came. It's, you see it in his ministry. He confronts sinners. I was sharing with you before we came on about when he was traveling along in his ministry with his disciples, and he says to them, I must go through Samaria. Now that, and they've got to be saying, are you kidding me?
We're going to Samaria?
Samaria.
Of all places.
One of the most unholy places.
The best
places.
You can come up with.
Yeah. Is that what you want to do here? Is that what you're, where you're going with this? And they didn't understand. So he goes, and of all things, when they come back, because they go to find something to eat, you know, their heart's in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes to a well because that's where people come
right
to get water. And when they come back, he's talking to, of all things, not just a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. Men don't talk to women.
Right.
Teachers don't talk to women.
Not in that culture.
In that culture, in that right. day. But he is, because his
he's
kind of
like, just mind-blowing, man.
His
like.
Intent superseded right. cultural mores and what their preconceived notions were of who was holy and who wasn't. His intent was to save that woman. And
he went to Samaria for no other reason but to
right.
save that woman. That's and right. also the people that she brought back with her.
Yeah,
he's hurt there.
And guess
the
what
well.
I just saw?
Right.
Guess who I just talked to?
The Son of
yeah.
God.
Yeah, so this we see the intent of God in salvation in the person of Christ.
Well, we also see it also, if we're just using examples here, in the demoniac.
Well, and you think about that. No one can control this man. I mean,
right.
people had tried to tie him down. He was uncontrollable.
He broke chains.
He was literally uncontrollable.
Yeah.
yeah. And so when Christ, I mean, on purpose,
right.
comes into, and then the demoniac sees him and those demons see him. But his intent is clear.
I like how you made up a word almost. He was unhelpable.
He was, yeah. He was unhelpable.
And but Christ pursued him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people need to realize, whether you're a non-believer and you're hearing this, or you're a believer and you're going, I'm not so sure about this. That's what makes grace so amazing.
It is. That those who are dead, those who are blind, those who have no heart for God are brought to Christ, are brought to God through the person of Christ.
So, we have this initiative of God in salvation. We have the intent of God, which in some ways kind of goes without speaking, but I think it bears repeating, you know, the intent
right.
that God had for coming and giving us salvation or bringing to pass salvation. But then lastly, we have the inevitability of God in salvation.
Yeah, it's interesting the phrase, well, in the Luke 19 passage, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But what I find most compelling is the Matthew 1:21 passage. He will save his people.
Not he might.
Yeah.
Or that he could.
Yeah. This is there is inevitability in this. There is unambiguity in this. There is no confusion about the purpose of God and what will happen. Lost people will be saved. He will save his people from their sin. And this is the glory of Christmas. It was not about God hoping that if he would be nice to people, they would be nice to him.
Right. Well, you know, I don't. We're going to move out of the New Testament, and I'm going to bring this up here. You look at the life of Jonah, to kind of go back to the Old Testament.
Right.
Which I think fits perfectly in our whole idea that this is a grand story here. So we're going to go back and look at how God moved even back then.
Right.
Jonah, I mean, the reason he didn't want to go after he already went, refused to go, then he went, is because he says, I knew what you would do.
Exactly. Why did he jump a ship to try to
run? So he knew the character of
God.
And
then when he goes and preaches, and Nineveh repents, and then he gets mad, and God says, do you do well to be angry? So why are you angry? He said, because I knew what you would do. That's why I didn't want to go in the first place. I knew if I preached repentance, you would save those sinful Ninevites.
Right.
That's the inevitability. He knew the inevitability of God and salvation, and that's what angered him. He didn't want those Ninevites to be saved. But God saves people of all stripes, of all ethnicities, of all cultural backgrounds, and brings them to himself. It is inevitable that it will happen.
So I think we see the prejudice that Jonah is dealing with.
Oh, wow, you really do.
It's getting in the way of being able to obey and follow God's clear command.
Yeah.
And then obviously what God wanted to do was to bring revival among a people group.
But he was not at all comfortable with the inevitability of God and salvation.
Right, which the question begs to be asked. We want to be practical to our listeners. They're talking about this issue of Christmas and what Christmas is. How does this apply to us, this inevitability, this intent, this initiative of God?
Well, you know, when I think of Christmas, we think of all that we do and all that we enjoy in Christmas. And I'm talking about the human things, the gifts, and, you know, you know, we see something of our God's reality reflected in us because we want to give good things to people. Sometimes we can't give all that we would like, and because of money or whatever. But what we see in Christmas is that God gave everything that he wanted to give to those to whom he brings to himself. He gives the whole package. Hmm. God is not slack concerning his promise. God is not weak. His gifts are not subject to evaluation or anything like that. And we can know that at this Christmas time, that we can make this Christ known. God help us. That's where we are in the practical reality. Then this kind of a God is the God of Christmas.
So if the unspeakable gift of Christmas is God's saving purpose, then we need to be about that purpose.
Exactly. And it is. It is his unspeakable gift. This is the unspeakable gift of God, salvation in Christ.
So in other words, also this, make Christ known because he will save his people.
Yes, you can be assured that the gospel will not return void.
Right, so at this time, at this Christmas time and into the new year.
And for the year to come.
Make Christ known.
Yeah.
What a blessed truth of Christmas.
Yeah.
Something that we should meditate upon, even as we're spending with time with the family and refocusing, regrouping as individuals, as a family, corporately, as a church.
Right.
He will not save all, but he will save many.
And hey, you may be asked to pray at a meal.
Right.
You may be asked to say something to the family. Just to make Christ known. Let the reality of this gift be made known and let God use it as he will.
Right, because he will bring many sons to glory.
That's right.
You know, I'm challenged at this time of year. Like I just, you know, just some week and a half ago, sat down with a Muslim friend or acquaintance and share the gospel. I'm reminded of the need to be doing that more and more. I don't do that.
Right.
That's convicting to me. As I've gone through this, that's convicting me. As I look at this whole story and see that God is, or Christmas is, salvation.
Right.
Then why am I not being about, and to use the phrase that Jesus did, the will of my Father?
Right. Yeah.
Because this is the call of Christmas. This is the purpose of Christmas, for us to go out and to be about the will of that baby boy and why he came.
Yeah. Yeah. He came to seek and to save the lost. And that's why we're here.
Well, and to everyone out there, we say a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the Gospel for